IRS on the Road, value-based parenting and life balance ideas from world-traveling family coaches. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
Hello and welcome back to IRS on the Road.
We are excited to be with you as always.
And it's crazy week. Crazy week where we are, the political scene and the sadness and the crazy stuff going on is really
aren't you glad this is not a political show?
I sure am glad it's not a political show.
We're gonna just completely go different directions than that. What we're gonna talk about today is very timely as I look at you, honey, with your leg and you're 4 weeks and 1 day out from your total knee replacement. You're doing great, but what a good time to talk about doctors.
Right. And care for our physical bodies and so many things that are important, especially as we get older. But always, you know, I do not ever remember going to a doctor when I was a kid. I don't ever remember, except for when I was a young woman, I had to have a doctor's physical to play basketball. And not only was I horrified about the physical, but I was horrified about basketball because I was so uncoordinated. I was awful. I don't know how any of our kids ended up court. I mean, your genes just took over on that with our family because I was awful. But anyway, doctors was just not part of my life.
Well, just to put all this in context, as most of you regular listeners know, we're going through this how to live the second half of life 1 month at a time. And the month of September is devoted to how to live the second half of life physically. And the first week was about diet. The second week was about exercise. And the third week, this week, is about medical care and finding the right doctor and taking care of yourself and having the tests you need and so on. And it is interesting, Linda, that so many people we know have essentially an adversarial relationship with, that's the best word I can think of, with doctors. They don't want to see them. They hope they never see them. They will see them only if they're desperately in need. And I think in your area, growing up in a rural community, that's kind of how doctors were thought of. It wasn't really a question of preventative care or taking care of the pest for things. It was like you go to a doctor if you're sick. You go to a doctor if you've got a problem. And you didn't go very often because you were a healthy girl and lived on a farm.
And my parents and my grandparents and my great-grandparents lived on farms and they ate so amazingly well and totally opposite of what they tell people now. I mean, they lived on milk and cream and meat.
Well, they ate well in the sense of,
But they were out working all the time, working in the fields. The women were working, the men were working, everyone was working. And so it's amazing how few, of course, the cholera and all those horrible things that came through that they couldn't do anything about killed a lot of people. But that's a whole different ballgame now. It's just amazing how different medical care is now.
Well, and how different our perception of it is. I mean, it was like, okay, we only go to the doctor if we're sick. And even the things we've talked about the first 2 weeks of this month, just as you pointed out, honey, diet and exercise. I mean, we're so conscious now of those things. But back in the day, and you only have to go back a generation or two at the most, to where the last thing you needed to think about was exercise, because your work every day was all the exercise you could handle. And if you were a farm family like you were, people came home at night and they weren't thinking, maybe I better go to the gym. They were thinking, where can I sit down and get my feet up and relax for a minute? Because I've been working physically all day, right?
I cannot imagine my dad going to a gym. I just can't imagine that. Oh my goodness. And they just went along until he just worked so hard, and then he slowed down a little bit. But when he was 65, he had a heart attack. I'll bet he hadn't seen a doctor in
No,
years and
I'm
years.
sure, probably not.
And
Why wouldn't he have a heart attack? He ate butter and
eggs
steak and eggs
and that was what was in the freezer, and we ate that.
and no one was thinking about diet in the way we do today. It was like we're hungry. Let's eat, and this is food that'll fill
But
us
it was
up.
good, nutritious
Yes, it
food.
was,
And
and
they balanced it pretty
it was
well because
natural.
they were working all the time
Yeah.
and moving all the time. And I just can't even imagine my dad exercising, just sitting down and doing sit-ups or anything like
No,
that.
he worked hard every day.
He was in good shape, but he did lose some weight after that, and then continued to be, just pretty healthy until he was 87. But it's amazing how different our world is now. Part of my world is doctors because of you, because.
Well, and because of your knee right now, and because of other needs, but what do you mean because of me?
Well, because you are so doctor conscious. You are just so aware of doctors. You want to check with doctors on everything, and you love doctors for friends because then when they're friends, they really take good care of you. I mean, that's not the reason they're friends, but you are so aware, and part of the reason that is that your father died very young,
Yeah,
I
he
think,
was
and that
rich.
is in your mind, and so you are totally so aware of doctors and your body and what's happening.
So that's the thing. You fast forward to today, and we live in a time where, especially if you're in the second half of your life, where you think in such a different way. You think, how do I prevent catastrophic surprises? How do I get ahead of the curve in terms of the things that are going to predict my health for the rest of my life? How do I eat the right diet? How do I not eat processed foods? How do I keep what I'm inputting into my body healthy? How do I take care of it with the input and the output is one way to think about it, right? The input of food and what I put in, and the output of the exercise I do, much of which is what your dad would have called artificial, going to the gym or running on the treadmill or jogging or whatever. And the world is just different today, and we have to roll with it and live with it. And of course, I mean, the basic things, one of the things I've been talking about on our Instagram this week is how blessed we are if we're on the offense on this physical stuff. And what I mean by that is, if you're a person who drinks or excessively or even drinks at all now, because the old idea of a glass of wine at night is going to be good for you, that's out the window. That how much you should drink to be healthy is zero, and we're seeing non-alcoholic beer is what people want now today, and the whole world's changing in that regard. But the defense is, if you drink, you got to stop. If you smoke, you got to stop. If you substance abuse, you got to stop. And there is kind of a sense of progress if you're at a point where you can say, well, I'm not doing any of those obviously destructive things to my body, so I don't need to worry about the defense anymore. I can worry about the offense. And the offense is improving my diet, getting the exercise I need, having the medical care I need and the tests I need to avoid bad surprises, and living in places where I love to be, and where I'm happy, and where I'm healthy, and where I'm spending my time in a way that makes me physically and mentally feel good. And all those things are a privilege in a way, because they're an offense. They're things we want to do to make our lives better, rather than things I've got to stop doing before I kill myself.
Yeah, exactly. And the exercise thing is such an important component. I have not been a great exerciser in my life, but I hope some of you've had a chance to go to Instagram and see Margaret Archibald's demonstration on physical health at our age. I mean, we're 78, 80. I mean, and she's 78. And that was such a fun thing. And actually, when I said she goes on hikes, I think she's on a hike right now. But she said, really, I do that For maintenance, I don't always go on hikes, but I just try to walk 30 minutes a day and just keep my body moving. And at our age, that is so important.
So, if you missed the last two podcasts and you want to go back and listen to the one on diet and listen to the one on exercise, but today we're really turning our attention to the question of medical care. And again, I just want to say, Linda, I think a lot of people in today's world have two problems. Number one is they still, in a lot of cases, have this adversarial relationship with doctors. Doctors are something you avoid, and you don't go to them until you really need them or you're in some kind of a crisis. And we got to change that. We got to change that to a feeling of teamwork and friendship with a doctor that you can really trust. And the other thing is people think of the doctor as the one who's in charge of their health. I go to the doctor and the doctor tells me what to do. He's the
Right.
manager. I'm what he manages. And somehow we've got to change that in our lives to where, no, you're the manager of your own health. And what is the doctor? He's your consultant. The doctors, the medical community, they're your team. They're your consultants. They're your group who are going to help you maintain your health. And if we just change those two attitudes, number one, I got to find doctors I like, I can communicate with, that I feel like are friends, that'll help me preserve my health, that'll help me with preventative maintenance and with care to avoid disease, not to treat it after I get it. And number two, I got to view medical people as consultants, the ones who can help me and fill me in. So we're advocating you move from this adversarial, avoid the doctors, to a teammate, a team approach, a friend, and moving from the doctor as your manager to being the doctor as your consultant. And those two conceptual changes are where we need to start. And in the second half of the show, we're gonna be pretty open and personal and tell you our experience in trying to make that kind of a transition. And it's a perfect time because Linda's sitting here with her knee being healed, and I'm going this afternoon, or actually as soon as we finish recording, to get a blood test to see where my PSA is, because I'm monitoring a little battle I've had with prostate cancer. So we're right in the middle of this.
Yeah, we surely are. And, we do have to be cautious of the doctors too. I mean, not every doctor is fabulous. And if things aren't working, we need to change doctors.
Absolutely. You're in charge of your health,
We
not.
have a friend who has had a lot of physical issues, had thyroid cancer, had his vocal cords removed, and has struggled with using a mic to speak and so on. But he's fabulous. He's a high-powered attorney, now retired. But they found that doctors were prescribing medication that was killing him. And just talking
It
to
was the
other doctors,
steroids.
found out, I don't even know what it was, but they took him off of it, and he's a new person. I mean, so there, you do have to be cautious about doctors and know what you're getting into.
Well, another friend of ours says, you got to, and he doesn't mean this critically, he means it kind of as a joke, but there's a certain amount of truth in it. He says, you got to remember, these guys are just practicing medicine. They're practicing medicine,
Everybody's
they're
practicing.
still practicing. And getting second opinions is not an insult to the first doctor. Finding a doctor you can communicate with better is not some goal you should not pursue. It's the goal you should pursue. We need, it's like anything else. If you're finding an attorney or an accountant or a plumber or a builder or whatever, you want to find somebody that you really have confidence in. And if that means going through a few different ones or firing someone or looking elsewhere and so on, again, it's you. You're in charge. It's your body, it's your mind, it's your health.
Exactly.
And the medical community there needs to serve you, and you're the one in charge.
Exactly. And checking with friends is a good idea too, because there are so many options. Wow, there's so many options. Anyway, think about that for a moment, and we're going to take a brief break, but we'll be right back talking about doctors, doctors, doctors.
Welcome back to Iyer's on the Road. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
And we're back. I remember my little doctor was afraid. He delivered me, actually.
Yeah, that's
Actually,
right.
Dr. Burgoyne delivered me and then moved away. And there's a long story with that. But then, Dr. Daines was just the country doctor, and he
He's a
was there
doctor for your
for
whole town.
so long, yeah, for our whole town. And everyone loved him, and he would make house calls. He'd come and see my mom if she was in trouble, or my dad. He was just such a kind, good person, good all around, because he did humanitarian service. In his spare time, he'd go down to South America where people were shooting at him. And anyway, there are a lot of amazing people who become doctors.
Well, and it's really interesting that when our kids were young and we were, going to doctors for immunizations, and by the way, vaccines, that's another story we can get into. But, we also had, I haven't really thought of this, honey, but we, Dr. Wolf, who was our good friend and our horse riding buddy, and who was a small town doctor and did a lot of things, was sort of our go-to guy. We would call him and he would answer our calls no matter
Well, he
when it
was a
was,
good friend. That was
and he would
really
say,
lucky.
did Jonah split his head open again? Or we had one son, Jonah, who most of our emergency visits were him rather than one of
Right.
the other nine kids. And but Dr. Wolf was so interesting. He was a great doctor with tremendous knowledge, but he also was sort of a jack of all trades as a medical person, which you don't find much anymore. He, like you say, delivered babies. He made house calls. Can't do that much today, given the insurance situation. But he also he I remember he hypnotized Jonah one time to sew him up so he wouldn't have to feel the pain or give him too much anesthesia. And there's just all kinds of stories about doctors that we love and that people love and that have served them and been close to them as friends. And we don't want to get too far away from that because now we're in an age where everyone's a specialist and a general practitioner or an internist is just sort of the first stop, and then he's going to shop you around to whatever specialist you need. And in a way, that's wonderful because people can know a lot about a narrow area and rather than know a little about a very broad area. But at the same time, who's your go-to guy? Who is your doctor that is your trusted friend who counsels with you on the preventative health that you're trying to practice in your life and who knows where to send you if you have somewhere else to go? And we've been awfully lucky with that.
Well, we have, although, this is my second knee replacement. And the first time around, we just took the advice of a doctor who had been giving me cortisone shots, who we loved. We thought she was great, but she recommended a guy. And I don't know, sometimes I wonder if she just thought he was cute. She was divorced and he was a cute guy. And well, he was fine, but he just was very standoffish. And we saw him once at surgery, and then maybe 6 weeks later. But then a year later, when it was still hurting, he said, "Well, let's just give it a little more time." And then I don't know. I'm sure he was fine. I sure it was partly me,
Well,
but.
but that's actually a perfect sort of a simple illustration of what we're trying to say because, Linda, you have two knees and you've now had them both done. And the difference the difference in those two experiences illustrates the very point we're trying to make. The first one was a competent guy, but not really communicative, and we didn't know very much about him, and he didn't know very much about us. The second one, we did what we should have done with the first one. We looked at ratings. We talked to a lot of people. We talked to others who'd had knee replacements. We talked to people who we thought ought to know and who we knew would tell us the truth. And we ended up with a guy who's just everything the first guy wasn't. Communicative, completely competent.
Sending messages every day, telling us exactly what to expect. And it's just amazing. And I'm not saying that this was the doctor's fault on this other knee. Because
no, I know.
Physical therapist told me, you know what? Most people have a bad knee and a good knee. They just started on your bad knee. And it's just, you know, it's not anybody's fault. It just is a different animal than the other knee. So I think it's kind of complicated to get through it all. But I think the most important thing is to have a doctor that you feel really confident talking with. Yeah. And you're pretty bold at calling doctors because they're your friends anyway. So
And we've been lucky because our main doctor for many, many years, we got to know him in graduate school in Boston, where he was a student at the medical school while I was a student at the business school. And
he played basketball with him, for heaven's sake.
and he's just brilliant, and he's so great. He's able, and he's the kind of guy, and again, maybe this is not possible for everyone, but we throw it out as the ideal. I can say to him, you know, what should we be testing on? What can you look at that will prevent us from having these awful surprises that we see our friends having, who suddenly find out they have stage 4 cancer, who find out they have heart disease, or who find out that their cholesterol is too high and has been for years, or who find out that their blood pressure could have been controlled but wasn't, and on and on and on. And he answers the questions. I mean, and he makes sure we ask the right questions. So, yeah, these are the things we can learn from your blood test every 6 months. And this is why you take a PSA test for your prostate. And Linda, this is why you need the mammogram. And this is how often you need the colonoscopy, and so on. And I don't want to make it sound like we're just spending our lives being tested. No, it's, and also, you know, some people will say, well, wow, if you're thinking about it all the time, you're going to become a hypochondriac, you know, you should just sort of not worry about any of that stuff. And I think it's the actual exact opposite of that. When you're testing the things you can test, that removes them from your worry, your hypochondriac, your list, you know, and they're not very often. Now, if you have a good blood test, comprehensive lipids and everything done every 6 months, probably you need the colonoscopy only every 5 years. The mammogram is not that frequent. You know, the PSA test is just part of your blood test.
But you've never had a mammogram.
No,
they are that frequent every year.
Thank goodness I haven't had one of those.
But I'm just sitting here thinking a lot of your medical brain comes from past experience.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I do think that you are really laser focused on your health because your dad died when he was 39 years old of cancer, of something that was treatable, but they didn't know what to do with it.
Well, and so let's be candid. So because of that, I mean, one of the things that I've mentioned a couple times already on today is the PSA test that tests your prostate and predicts whether you're moving in a bad or a good direction. And because of that, we discovered that I did have some prostate cancer. We discovered it early. We found the right doctor to do radiation. We're following up with another doctor we really, really like, who is keeping an eye on it. And you say, well, gee, I hate to have to deal with all that. I don't even want to think about it. No, again, thinking about it is what stops you from worrying about it. And I just feel like, having a doctor who is someone you can confide in, one of the growing trends in medicine right now, and I hesitate to mention it because it's sort of an elitist, has an elitist feel to it, and no one wants to advocate that, but concierge doctors are sort of a new best thing. My brother in California, had a concierge doctor who essentially that means my brother paid a fee to have him available whenever he needed him.
Yeah, that's a new
So he
big
didn't have
thing,
to, he
right?
had his phone number. He didn't have to go through the one of the problems I think we'd all agree in the medical field is the outer office, getting through the appointments, getting through the bureaucracy to even reach the doctor, and can he even call me back? Well, no, maybe the PA will call you back or the nurse will call you back or whatever. And so finding a doctor somehow, it may take some effort, but it'll pay off in the long run that you really like and that, dare I say it, likes you enough that you can really communicate. That's such a big deal.
Right. And getting past the front office is a big deal. I have found a doctor for my injections because I have both bad knees and bad hips. And I really blame Mount Kilimanjaro on that one 25 years ago, but I'm not sure, but I think that really had something to do with it. But
That's exciting to say I ruined my knees by climbing Mount
Right is a better
Kilimanjaro.
excuse than a lot of people, but my sister has no problem. My mother's never had problems. I mean, the hip and knee thing is just has to come from somewhere. I think it came from Mount Kilimanjaro, but anyway, it was still worth it, I think. So, but I had this doctor who could give me injections. He gave me great advice when I was in his office. He was awesome. Oh, let's just roll this machine in. Let's just try it. But if you needed emergency care, or if you needed some him sooner than the next 6 months, it was almost impossible
Impossible to get through stuff,
to get
right?
through. Oh, sorry. I'm like, I am in agony. I can't walk. What can I do? Well, we've got an appointment like in 3 months. I'm like, no, I can't do this for 3 months. And finally, we just gave up and went to a new doctor who we adore. And so I think sometimes they have a noose around your neck because they're saying, we're just so busy. There are other people who can take care of you.
Well, and let me go back to the testing thing again, too. I was with my 5 sons and I took a trip to Iceland this year earlier, and we didn't plan. There was no agenda. We were just there to have a good time and be together. But the subject of health came up, and our sons are now middle-aged. I hate to say it. I mean, it
Not
seems
really
crazy.
middle-aged.
Well, maybe not, but I mean, they're past 40, most of them, and so it felt a little strange to be saying, you guys really should have your PSA checked, and you really should have a colonoscopy now, and you really should do this, and so on. We had a good talk about it, and I ended up really kind of committing them to do certain things. And we had this talk that I mentioned earlier where they're like, well, I don't want to even think about that. Well, think about it a little, get it tested, then you don't have to think about it, and you don't get surprised. And so there's that whole thing. And I mean, I don't know. I think the effort to find a doctor and to actually say, maybe it's the one you've already got, but say, I really want you to be my consultant. I want you to help me to prevent things that I can prevent. And I want to be able to get in touch with you when I need to for something. I won't abuse it. How can we work that out? I mean, have that discussion. That's not being presumptuous. I'm writing a little write-up for this week in our little How to Live the Second Half of Life course, and I'm thinking the title of it is going to be Find the Right Doctor, and then in parentheses, maybe it is you. In other words, be your own, not you're not a doctor, but be your own person who
Yeah, pay
manages your health.
attention to your health,
And see the medical community as your team
right.
and get it to work.
And I don't want to end on a sad note, but we have a darling, dear friend who's an in-law of an in-law, but he was such a magnificent soul. and really quite young, who had been sick for a year and a half and had not seen a doctor because he was just opposed to, he just thought, I'm fine, I'm fine. And he passed away in, by the time they diagnosed cancer, it was everywhere. So really pay attention to your body and see some doctors. There's some magnificent doctors. Sometimes it takes a little moving around to find just the right one, but we really do believe in doctors for your mental as well as your physical health.
And we're going to round this out next week with one last discussion of how to live the second half of life physically. And it's a little surprising because we're calling it places. Putting yourself in physical places that make you feel well and that improve your health and so on. And not only physical places, but mental places. Are you able to put yourself into a happy place? Are you able to really breathe and relax when you need to? And are you able to spend time in places that rejuvenate you? So that'll be a fun
So
one
mental health.
next week.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. We hope we gave you something to think about. It made us think about some things too. So thanks for joining. We'll see you next time on Ayers on the Road. Bye-bye.